You ready to do your memory work? How many of you think you could stand up and quote those five verses? Let me see your hand. One, two. All right, let's see if we can quote them together. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after that you have done the will of God, ye should receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any of them should draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And let's continue reading. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God or him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, Abraham obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What is faith? We want to look at that as a subject today, The second session yesterday, we had some introductory thoughts, some opening thoughts. We spent some time whetting our appetite, motivating you to want to learn what faith is, how it works, how it can work in my life. Because faith, biblical faith, is a very dynamic thing. It is energizing to all those who have it beating in their breast, to all those who exercise themselves in it. They will find it to be truly an energizing influence in their lives. So today we want to give some definition to biblical faith. In a general sense, we could say the whole Bible record is a story, a dramatic story of this faith that we're talking about. How it energized men and women, and how the lack of it, unbelief, and the tragedy of it was lived out in men and women's lives. That's the whole Bible record. And lest we get too hard on those in the Bible record, I want to remind you that now it's our turn. And just like every single one of them had the choices to make, whether they were going to live by faith and see and prove God to be an awesome and a living God, or whether they were going to choose to live in unbelief and sit still and do nothing, just like they had those choices, young people, every one of you have the same choices to make. There is no difference at all between you and Abraham. None! I hope you understand that, young men. Abraham was not some special person that God gave some special grace, and you don't have to follow the footsteps of Abraham, the father of faith. That's not so. Now it's our turn. And the story of our life will also be determined by faith or the lack of it. Every one of us. And oh, if you begin to get a glimpse of the dynamics of faith, it is a very exciting adventure. And I look back in my own life now, I've been a Christian for 27 years, and I look back down through the years of my Christian life, and I watch and see as how God has led and the steps that were taken, and many times it was in fact stepping into the water and waiting for it to part. I come to grips with the reality that God is calling every single one of us to the same kind of life. But everyone has their own choice. Everyone. Multitudes, multitudes, millions of multitudes make the choice to live in unbelief and mediocrity. But there are those who, out of an inner conviction in their heart, choose to live for God and choose to allow God to make their life a testimony of what a living God can do through a human being. And I want to challenge you, young people, that's what this is all about. Oh, you young men, oh, I thought about you this morning as I was sitting in the back and the sessions were going on, and I was listening and I was watching you listen. And my prayer to God was this: oh God, would you get a hold of these young men and make soldiers out of them, every one of them. Have done with the lesser things, brethren. Have done with them. Let some other fool fritter their life away on nothing. You give your life to God. Give it unreservedly. You will never be sorry. You will never be sorry. And that's what this Bible school is all about. And you say, well, Brother Denny, what about the young lady? Hey, listen. If we get this side cleared away, I think this side will take care of itself. What do you think? What do you think? Well, I don't know where all that came from. That's not in my notes. I guess it came out of my heart, huh? As we ponder just for a moment the text that we've been memorizing, I want you to note that the book of Hebrews was written to Hebrew Christians. They were being persecuted. They were being tested. They were being tried. They were being tempted, and they were falling into discouragement. They were being tempted to question whether this life of faith in Jesus Christ and Him only was truly the better, and they were being tested and tried and tempted by the religious people that we heard about this morning in Jerusalem. Many, many questions were being thrown their way about the ceremonial laws and Moses and circumcision and all those things. And because that's all these Jewish Christians knew until they met the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you fall into the patterns of your flesh when you lose sight of Jesus Christ, they were also falling into the patterns of their flesh, and the patterns of their flesh was the depravity of religion. And Hebrews was written to encourage them and convince them that Jesus is the better way. And thus, a life of faith. That's why the writer said to them, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, because some of them were being tempted into moving away from the glorious reality of the Lord Jesus Christ and moving back into the realms of religion which they knew before. And the writer of the epistle to the Hebrews says to them, and it's a powerful word, cast not away therefore your confidence, brethren, which has great recompense of reward. And we know what some of that great recompense is. But then goes on to say to them, for you have need of patience. You have need of patience. Trust God. Go forward and trust God. You have need of patience. For after that you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. When they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the assurance flooded their souls just like it did you when you believed. But we are admonished in the book of Hebrews that we are to stay in that confidence. We are to stay in that confidence. That flooding of the heart of the assurance and confidence of God, we are to stay in that confidence all the days of our Christian life. Now in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we want to get into a bit of the definition of faith. And if we're looking for a literal definition, this is the only one in the Bible where the Bible says faith is, and it gives a definition to it. So surely we want to understand Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We must grasp this verse. First of all, I want you young people to notice that the realm that faith operates in, and we must come to grips with this, like it or not, whether it's to you it seems hard or not, We must come to grips with the realm that faith operates in. It operates in two realms. It operates in the realm of the things hoped for, and it operates in the realm of the things not seen. Now, to the natural man, that's just like putting a big paper sack right over your head and telling you, now walk through life that way. You won't be able to see, you won't be able to understand, you won't know what's going on, and truly, if you try to live the Christian life without the reality of spiritual sight, you will be like a man walking through life with a paper sack over your head. Because faith operates in the realm of things hoped for, that's future, and in the realm of things not seen. Things hoped for, things not yet attained. Things hoped for, things not yet possessed. Faith works in the realm of the things that are hoped for. It works in the realm of fulfillment of our ideals that we don't have yet, but yet the ideal is there. And when I think of, oh, you dear young people, that's real close to home, isn't it? I mean, you are in the stage of your life where you're developing ideals, and I hope that you're getting them out of this book. But many times that's what they are. In the youth of your Christian life, they're ideals. They're things you see. But they are not things that you totally possess yet. Well, this is the realm in which faith works in. It's the realm of the things hoped for. Some victory yet unrealized in your life. I like the way that Paul said it. In Romans chapter 8, he said it this way. Let me read these two verses to you. In Romans 8 and verse 24, he says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope." You get that? Hope that is seen, that's our hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? You know, sometimes I get thirsty when I'm preaching, and I hope that somebody will get the hint and go get me a drink of water, but once somebody brings me the glass of water, and I can see it, and I have it in my hand, I'm no longer hoping for a glass of water, because I now see it. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Did you see those little words there? Then we do with patience wait for it. Also, faith operates in the realm of things not seen. In the realm of things not seen. Not only of things hoped for, but of things not seen. And let me just read you this verse. And it's so beautiful to find verses like this. We know that Paul knew this principle of faith very well. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. He said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So you see, faith works in the realm of the things that are not seen. And let me explain that. It's very simple. You see, but you don't see with these eyes. You see with the eyes of your heart. In the realm of faith, you see with the eyes of your heart, but you may not see with the eyes in your head. And that's what faith is all about. Dear young people, God has put you on a road which will be filled with unseen realities. All your days. See, that doesn't seem fair. No. You don't understand. You'll be able to see, but only if you get alone with God and tune the eyes of your heart and the ears of your heart to see and hear those things which are in the unseen realities of a spiritual world. If you will do that, you'll be able to see. But if you don't do that, you will be stumbling around all your days. Because faith works in the realm of the unseen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Are you ready to walk all your days by faith and not by sight? That's a different realm to live in. You've been living by sight all your days. From the moment you opened your eyes as a little baby, you began to have the impressions that came to you by the sight of your eyes. And you learned to walk by the sight of your eyes. You learned to eat by the sight of your eyes. And most of the life that you function is by the sight of your eyes. But now Paul is saying, we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. There's some unlearning to do here, young people. And some learning to do here. And it's called the life of faith. It was said of Moses, that great man of faith, that he forsook Egypt and didn't fear the wrath of the king. Why? He endured as seeing him who was invisible. That's how he did it. Moses saw him who was invisible. He saw with his heart God, and that made all the fear of the wrath of this little pipsqueak called a king nothing at all. I mean, when you see God, what's a king? Amen? And Moses endured as seeing him who was invisible. And he wasn't afraid of the wrath of the king. Do we see him who is invisible? We are called to an invisible religion. However, it is a visible, invisible religion. Because we can see with the eyes of our heart. You say, Brother Jenny, these are very hard words you're giving me. I know that. But the life of faith, the life of seeing the invisible. And you can stumble around just about as long as you want to. But you come to grips with this fact. If you ever start walking rightly, you will come to grips with this fact. And start tuning the eyes of your heart to see him who is invisible. You see, you can see him who is invisible. He's beautiful. Oh, he's beautiful. He's glorious. He's more than you ever could imagine with your mind. And you can see him, young people, who is invisible. And that is the life of faith. Turn with me to 2 Kings in chapter 6. king of Assyria was having a bit of a problem. Elisha was the problem. This king was trying to destroy Israel, get him into trouble, wipe him out. And every time he had a plan to take care of them, somehow it seems like someone let the armies of Israel know where the enemy was going to come, and they escaped out of the way. And oh, this king was getting frustrated. This happened over and over again, and you can just imagine moving, oh, maybe 100,000 soldiers without any equipment like we have from one place to the next, to the next, to the next, and every time futilely. And he got frustrated. And his natural response was, there must be an enemy in the camp. One of you is telling on us. Somebody spoke up and said, it's not us, it's not us, it's Elisha. There's a prophet over in Israel, and he is a seer. And God talks to him. He's the one who's doing it. So they set themselves. They found out where he was staying. He's staying in the small town of Dotham. And they set themselves, we're going to go take care of this guy. And so they did. In the middle of the night, they surrounded the town. And let's see, where shall we start reading? Verse 15, early in the morning, the servant got up. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? He was seeing with these eyes. That's what he was doing. Now we don't know what Elijah was doing before the servant came to him. But we do know what kind of a man Elisha was, and it's very possible that he was in the secret place. It's very possible that he was in the closet, and he already got his marching orders from the Lord, because he often did that. God talked to him. And so the servant comes to Elisha and says, Master, what shall we do? Look at this. And oh, I just love Elisha's answer. He answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Oh, don't worry about it, servant. No big deal. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say whether Elisha saw those things, but I believe that Elisha saw them with the eyes of his heart. I believe that Elisha was in the secret place of the Most High God for a couple of hours before the servant came. And he walked out into the situation, walked out on the veranda there, maybe out on the wall of the city, and he looked at it, and it was no big surprise to him. It didn't strike any fear in him. He was surrounded by, and he was engulfed by, the very God of heaven. And when you are surrounded by, and engulfed by, and filled with the very God of heaven, all those soldiers out there really don't mean much. And so, he told him, oh, don't worry about that. There's more with us than them. Oh, servant, what are you talking about? It's just you and I. I don't know if he read his mind or what, but then Elisha prayed. And notice how quickly God answered this man of God's prayer. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. That's a good prayer for us to pray, isn't it? Lord, open my eyes, that I may see the things which are eternal.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 4 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.